Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the Fifth Sunday of Lent. Our reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doings and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm, create a clean heart in me, O God.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me.
Create a clean heart in me, O God.
Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall return to you.
Create a clean heart in me, O God. A reading from the letter of Hebrews. In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Kevin, here we are, the fifth Sunday of Lent, and
it's getting very close to Easter, isn't it?
Very, very close, yes.
We have Palm Sunday next week, but we're going to focus on the fifth Sunday today. Got some amazing readings. Our first one is from the prophet Jeremiah, and of course, many know of him, or at least I like to think of him as the prophet of doom,
exactly.
Right? He was always bad
yes.
news. But this reading...
He had to be, doggone it.
Poor guy, right?
Yeah.
But this, in this first reading today, I do want to focus, I guess, on two lines today. The line where it says, I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. And then the other line at the end, all from the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord. Starting with that bottom line there, all shall know me. I mean, this was a beautiful prophecy about Jew and Gentile, how God removed his people. Even though he removed his people from Egypt, he also needed to get Egypt out of his people.
Exactly.
Right? And so all shall know me, Jew and Gentile. And again, we will come back and worship me, the Lord, and how important that was. And then he says, shall know me. Okay, so this is important because if you go back to Genesis 4, verse 1, the marital intimacy of knowing each other. This was the deepest intimacy and relationship that God wants with us, right? It's the deepest depth of our being, right? And he talks about how when we write this on our hearts, this is where the heart is that seat of morality. It's where we decide for or against God. And to really put that in context, I have a quote from Shakespeare.
Ah,
there we go.
Okay.
Right. And so think about this. If you just think about the heart being a pump, okay, versus really how it's being talked about, I'm going to write it on their hearts. I pulled out a quote from Othello from Shakespeare. And this, by the way, for the young gentlemen who are listening, my two oldest boys, when they were growing up, used Shakespeare quotes to great advantage in order to impress the young ladies. So here's ways that you can go ahead and impress the young ladies at church or after church, after your coffee and donuts. But this is what Othello said. Iago said this, but I will wear my heart upon my sleeve for daws to peck at. I am not what I am. Right. If you just replace that with pump, well, I'm going to wear my pump on my sleeve. It doesn't mean very much. What this is saying is, I'm going to externally manifest my inmost desires. And that is the importance and the way those two things I really think put them together. I'm going to write this on your heart. Your inmost desire will be for me and I will know you and you will know me. That's a beautiful tie and how positive that is from Jeremiah today.
And like you said, such that image of intimacy. And this is something, you know, that talking about this, how he's going to write it on our hearts. But even at that, Kevin, let's look back. The people of God, we broke covenant with God again and again. But the new covenant that they're talking about in this reading, that's going to be different. You see, in the old covenant, God entered into covenant with man. But hindered by sin and human frailty, man failed over and over again. In this new covenant that Jeremiah is talking about, God enters into covenant with man, but it's Jesus, who is both man and God, acts as mediator and becomes the unblemished sacrifice to once and for all seal the deal on that everlasting covenant between God and man. In the new covenant, God does for us what we never could have done for ourselves.
Yeah, amen. Very true on that. Let's go to move to the second reading. This is from Hebrews chapter 5. The general idea of Hebrews chapter 5 is how Christ has been made high priest by God the Father. But now we get into a little bit of a hard reading, I think, here, Carla, because I see in here how Christ learned obedience. Christ was made perfect. I mean, these are things that are a little hard to understand, I think, in today's language, isn't it?
We did just say that Jesus is God.
He's God,
and
right?
Man. Right. So what is this?
How do you learn obedience?
So I turn to my fabulous Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. And
very nice. All right.
Thanks to Dr. Hahn, I think we have a couple answers to
all
that.
All right. Very good.
So he has a quote, actually. It's from St. Thomas's commentary on Hebrews. And he explains in this that the part about learning obedience, that it's not that Jesus was ignorant. In fact, he was ignorant of nothing. So there was really nothing for him to learn just by simple recognition. But there is also a different kind of knowledge that's acquired by experience. And in this sense, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Having accepted our weaknesses, He learned how difficult it is to obey, for he obeyed in the most difficult of circumstances, even unto death of the cross. And now, though, what about the being made perfect?
Right?
Okay, isn't being God?
That's God's perfect.
He's perfect? Okay. So
this, I'm not.
No.
He is.
Oh, yeah. There's a word, so the teleo in Greek, meaning to complete or to perfect. So that's really what they're talking about. It isn't that he wasn't perfect, but his work wasn't done yet. So it is through what he went through and then his final death that it was perfected. It was complete.
Oh, I see. Okay, that gives a lot more meaning and context, because certainly, you know, I myself and many others, we need to learn that obedience. And when I kind of read some of that, I also looked at how his suffering, his example, his perfect suffering, really gives us an example how to align our will to God's will. And we talked, I guess, the first commentary this month about how practically we can do that to align our will with his, is to live out and obey the Ten Commandments.
Exactly.
And so even though it's very difficult, we can have suffering bear fruit if we let it, to align ourselves to the cross of Christ.
And, you know, on that note, Kevin, I truly believe if the world was able to recognize the value of redemptive suffering, the entire world would be different. It would change the entire world.
Okay. Believe that. Yes. Talking about changing the entire world, there were some Greeks who wanted to see Jesus, the man who was going to change the entire world, in our gospel today. And this is kind of interesting, because the Greeks who wanted to meet Jesus actually came to Philip. Then Philip went to Andrew, and then Andrew went to Jesus. And this was kind of interesting, because they were Greeks. And so I did find out that Philip and Andrew are the only two apostles with Greek names. But I think through some of our conversation, it also goes to a little deeper level, that, you know, sometimes maybe if you want to meet someone, you don't necessarily go directly to that person, right? You find someone who you know and trust, and who that person then knows and trusts the person you want to meet.
Right. So I'm not just going to get thrown away. Someone's going to bring me in.
Right. And when you say that, the interesting piece is that the person you ultimately want to meet will judge you by the introduction, right?
Exactly.
Hey, here's a person I know and trust. I'll go ahead and meet this other person. So the interesting piece of that is that people knew that Philip and Andrew were apostles and men of good standing. I think that translates into, we also need to know who we are and let people know who we are to be people of good, upstanding Catholic values. So we can maybe provide that introduction, if you want to think about
good
it that
point.
Way.
Yeah, that's really good. We don't want to touch a little bit on how Jesus reveals in this gospel the kind of death that he's going to undergo. And he makes it very clear that he willingly surrenders his will to the will of the Father. And he says, whoever serves me must follow me. And in other places in sacred scripture, we hear Jesus make similar statements. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he also says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. It's pretty plain to see what Jesus meant, that the life of a Christian was never supposed to be one of comfort and leisure, and that the life of a Christian means saying yes to God in everything, even when it means saying no to ourselves.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdei radio.com.